You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. The federal government shutdown continues to drag on as Congress repeatedly fails to reach a funding deal, and messages assigning blame to either side continue to fly. One recent example that's gained attention is a video being shown at airports around the country, featuring Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. In it, she directly blames Democrats for the shutdown. Similar messages have also been posted on government websites like the Forest Service, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of California. But some airports around the country, including those in Sacramento and Stockton, are refusing to show Noem's video, saying they weren't asked to, that the messaging violates their policies, or that it's illegal. And some legal experts are sounding the alarm, saying this messaging violates a federal law called the Hatch Act. But what exactly is the Hatch Act? What does it do, and how is it enforced? Here to break things down for us is Stephen Macias, a visiting professor of law at McGeorge School of Law. Professor, welcome to Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, to give listeners a bit of an introduction, what exactly is the Hatch Act and what does it do?
Yeah, so the Hatch Act is a federal law that in part limits the partisan political activities of federal employees. And I think it has a couple of different ideas behind it. One is that if federal workers sort of weren't prohibited from such activities, then maybe they're supervisors who have stronger political connections or who might have been politically appointed themselves might sort of force workers to engage in partisan activity sort of under threat of losing their jobs. And so from that perspective, it can sort of be viewed as a protection for rank and file federal employees. But it also is seen as a way to keep governmental operations nonpartisan, which I think is the version of the act that we're seeing discussed with the TSA type video.
Well, and Professor, it might be sort of an obvious question, but why is it important for the federal government to work in a nonpartisan way?
Yeah, so, you know, partisan politics is fine for the campaign trail, but you know, perhaps it shouldn't be, it shouldn't impact the provision of basic governmental services, which, you know, the services are there for everyone, regardless of who you voted for. So, for example, if you're waiting in line at the TSA checkpoint, or you imagine the line at the TSA checkpoint, no, it's full of people who voted for all sorts of different candidates, Democrats, Republicans, and everything in between. And the idea is you shouldn't have to run in or face sort of partisan issues when you're in a situation like that, where you're simply trying to receive basic governmental services.
And just to dig into that topic a tiny bit more, some federal workers, of course, like department secretaries, they're appointed by the president to carry out an agenda, which of course reflects, you know, the president's political views. How are they expected to balance carrying out that partisan agenda while also respecting the law?
Yeah, well, that agenda, although of course inflected by politics, and the very agenda itself might be the result of a partisan compromise, of political compromise, or you know, enforcing political promises. But I think the idea is that it can be done in a way that isn't constantly reminding people of the underlying politics behind it. So, you know, the secretary, you know, can certainly post a video that she'd like shown at airports that, you know, explains difficulties of a shutdown, but there doesn't necessarily have to be anything overtly partisan in it in order to carry out the policies that she would be expected to carry out.
Let's talk a little bit more about sort of when the law applies or how. Does this law apply only to federal officials or employees in their official capacity? What about when they're, quote unquote, off the clock or in their personal capacity?
Yeah, so and the statute has a very interesting history, but as originally enacted in 1939, it applied broadly across the board to federal employees, even state and local government employees whose jobs depended on federal funding in some way. And it originally prohibited partisan activities, political activities across the board. So off the clock as well as on the clock. And the Supreme Court upheld that limitation of political activity as not a violation of people's speech rights, of First Amendment rights. But there was a significant change in the law in 1993 when many restrictions were eased and partisan activity outside of working hours and when one was away from the federal job site were permitted in that revision.
Professor Macias, tell us a little bit about the history of the Hatch Act. How long has it been around, and why was it established in the first place?
Yeah, so it's been around since 1939. And I think like most historical events, there are at least two explanations for why it came about. One explanation is that it was simply an anti-corruption sort of ethics measure, largely the way we think of it today. The idea is that it was motivated by some corruption that had been going on at the Works Progress Administration, which was one of the President Roosevelt's New Deal agencies designed to put people back to work in the midst of the Great Depression. And there had been congressional investigations that perhaps some politicians were using the agency's staff for their own political campaigns. And so the idea is we need a federal law to sort of stamp out that sort of corruption. So that's one story. But another story is that, and this is supported by looking at who actually voted for the bill. The bill was largely supported by conservative Democrats and Republicans and others opposed to President Roosevelt's New Deal policies. And from this perspective, the bill seems to have been motivated by trying to undermine Roosevelt's existing agencies and trying to undermine labor, unionism, all in the name of sort of anti-communism as a way to discourage political activity, especially amongst those who might have WPA jobs and therefore might be more politically sympathetic to the Roosevelt administration.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Professor Stephen Macias from McGeorge School of Law about the Federal Hatch Act. Professor, let's talk a little bit about these videos that people might have seen at airports recently. If you look at a case with Secretary Noem, messages are being posted on certain federal websites and videos are being shown at airports with a partisan message. Would you consider them to be violations of the Hatch Act?
They certainly seem to be engaged in partisan activity. Yes, I mean the video that was designed to be shown in TSA lines, at least twice references Democrats and lays the blame for the federal shutdown at their feet. And specifically says that that the TSA employees are not being paid because of it, and notes that travel delays might also be blamed on Democrats. So it certainly seems to be an overt partisan message, while the secretary is sort of sitting in front of the department's flag.
Is it cut and dry to determine when the act is violated, or is it more difficult than that?
Well, I mean, there certainly would be cases that are close to the line, but this one doesn't seem to be that close to the line. I mean, the secretary is certainly using her government office, her position, the insignia of the department, and this is being put in the space where you would expect the TSA to be doing its work. So this seems to be a clear example of a partisan attack, and we've seen complaints by members of Congress calling those who should be enforcing the law, calling this to their attention and laying out their case for the violation as well.
Well, Professor, you brought up enforcement. What kind of enforcement mechanisms are there if a political official or employee violates the Hatch Act? What what penalties exist?
Yeah, so even going back to when the Act was originally written in 1939, lots of critics even then noted that the enforcement mechanisms were fairly weak. And the current penalties range from, or mostly are within the realm of personnel consequences. So removal, demotion, suspension, letters of reprimand. And all of this is supposed to be enforced today through the Office of Special Counsel, which is an independent office, an independent agency. And that this Office of Special Counsel, has been in the news very recently for more than one reason, but largely instigated by the president's firing of the head of that office several months ago, who was who had been appointed by the previous administration. This has been part of the president's firing of independent agency heads across the board. And the Supreme Court will be hearing a case in December, Trump versus Slaughter, inquiring whether or not to overrule some previous holdings that had upheld independent agencies, perhaps greatly restricting independent agencies going into the future. So the enforcement of this is bound up to a great extent with some of these other concerns about executive power.
So you mentioned the firing of the head of that agency that would enforce this act. So I'm going to take a leap and say these violations are not being enforced today. Traditionally, have they been enforced?
So whether they are being, so for example, Senator Cantwell of Washington sent a letter about the Noem video to the, so that there's currently an acting special counsel asking him to enforce the statute. I don't know that there has been a response to that official request as of now. Reason that this has been in the news most recently was because the individual that the president nominated to fill this to fill this position, Paul Ingrassia was his name, withdrew his nomination just yesterday evening after some text messages had come out that were sort of racist in nature, and some Republican senators said they would not support his confirmation. So I think that this office is going to be in flux for a while longer. But historically, yes, there has been enforcement, even if it has been as weak as mere letters of reprimand from the office.
When you look at examples like the TSA videos or other examples maybe from the recent past, are we seeing a growing trend, and has it extended beyond just the current administration? Has it been, have there been violations in your eyes from both parties and when they were in power in the White House?
Yeah, there certainly have been recorded violations and letters of reprimand to both political parties. You know, and when the statute and its enforcement is designed to prevent partisan political activity, you know, there's always a danger that the individual in power, you know, potentially could abuse that, or, you know, also just see things differently depending on that person's political sympathies. So it might be easier to see Republicans engaging in political activity if you're a Democrat, or vice versa. Which is one of the reasons why the Congress gave this power to an independent agency. So, you know, an individual who would be, above that political fray. So the gentleman who just withdrew his own nomination had specifically mentioned as, you know, things that he wanted to do were he to come into office would be to look more closely at whether there had been previous partisan, whether the enforcement itself had been partisan. And I think that there's a sense in which there's always going to be that feeling that, anytime someone is, especially a government official or someone who's closely connected to the president, anytime they come in for some sort of reprimand, they will feel that is itself a partisan attack.
Professor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you mentioned earlier that the enforcement measures for this, they're just not very strong. I'm wondering if there have been efforts to strengthen them, and if so, how those went, in the recent past?
So this is certainly not the only statute that's out there on government ethics. And, you know, in fact, as I mentioned, the 1993, the Hatch Act was in a sense weakened in that it was amended to allow partisan political activity outside of one's job. So before that, it had actually been a pretty confining law. And one of the reasons given for that was that there are other mechanisms that if there was serious ethical problems could be used. But also another reason is that it really is viewed by some as an incursion into people's free speech rights to the extent that they feel constrained to not be able to speak politically, and hence those loosening efforts in 1993, which, you know, allowed people to actually partake in politics outside of their, you know, on their own time, essentially.
And last thing, as we wrap up, Professor, if folks, you know, we obviously live in a world that is extremely partisan, especially in our nation's capital today. If people say, you know, why should we really care about this law? It's not enforced much. What are the consequences if this activity continues without checks to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as you mentioned, one of the unfortunate realities, especially as I've noticed it, you know, in interacting with students, is that the sort of politicization of basic government activities, you know, almost no longer comes as a surprise. Certainly not welcome, but not unexpected. And so, you know, I think if, you know, one is concerned about the sort of overt mixing of partisan politics and basic government, you know, in some place, you know, as mundane as an airport security line, you know, then, you know, maybe the, you know, lesson is that, you know, basic guarantors of democratic values and rule of law, you know, aren't the law enforcers or those who would enforce a statute like the Hatch Act or even the courts, but, you know, it's up to the people who are concerned about this to be vigilant and attentive to what they might view as abuses of power or, you know, as a government officials looking the other way when those in their political party seems to take advantage of the system.
Well, Professor Macias, thank you so much for joining us on Insight.
Thank you for having me.
Stephen Macias is a visiting professor of law at McGeorge School of Law. We've been getting an explainer of the Federal Hatch Act, which limits certain political activities for government employees to maintain a politically neutral environment. Still ahead, stories about being haunted, whether real or imaginary. We'll hear more from some of this month's In a Nutshell storytellers. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.